Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. From the arts desk, the band Kansas comes to the Honeywell Center in Wabash on April 21st. April 22nd in Richmond, it's the Indiana State School Music Association's choral competition at the Civic Hall Performing Arts Center. Also, April 22nd in Muncie, Civic Theater has Mary Poppins. April 23rd in Anderson, Time for Three with the Anderson Symphony Orchestra. April 23rd in Muncie, it's Night at the Opera with the Muncie Symphony Orchestra. April 24th, the Manchester Symphony Orchestra performs at the Honeywell Center. And April 30, it's Shake, Rattle, and Roll with the Richmond Symphony Orchestra. Just a few of the things from the arts desk. Don't know if you heard about it, but the last week of March was National Boys and Girls Club Week. The Boys and Girls Club of Muncie had an open house. We stopped by, but also went on another day when things were a little quieter. Well, maybe quieter isn't the word. We talked with Antonio Benford, the unit director or manager of the club, as players from the Ice Basketball League practiced nearby.
Well, I first started coming here as an elementary kid, just like we offer now for our after-school program. I lived across the street, right across the street from Heakin Park, so I tell everybody this story. However I could get here, I wanted to be here, whether that was riding my bike, catching the bus, having my mom drop me off. I wanted to be at the Boys and Girls Club because it was a place where my peers were, it was a place where good mentors were, and I knew I could be safe here.
What do you think that it gave you that, you know, as you look back, what did the club give you?
Well, my aha moment came when I was in eighth grade, and we were standing almost in the exact spot that we're in right now doing this interview. I was talking to my coach, and he wanted me to be a part of his AAU team. And to me, that was only for the LeBron James and the Michael Jordans of the world. I didn't know a small town guy like myself could even be on an AAU team. He asked me to be a part of that AAU team, and not only did he ask me to be a part of it, he asked me to be the leader on that team. So that really opened my eyes to the game of basketball, and it really made me start to take the game serious. But outside of that, it really made me focus on my academics and know that someone cared about me, and that really was a big influence in helping me get through high school and definitely going into my secondary education.
This is more than we're in a gym right now and people are playing basketball, but that's not all there is.
That's not what it is. That's the tool that we use to get them in. Everybody around the community love basketball, so why not do basketball? But that's just a tool to get them in. Once they're here, we love to mentor them and we love to get to know them and build relationships with them and know them outside of just sports, know them outside of just club kids. We want to see what goes on at home. We want to see how they operate at school. So we go to school lunches and hang out with them. We pop up at their schools and sometimes even at home, and just to do a home visit and just see how that home life is so we can know more about the kid.
What do you find out? What have you learned about the lives of the children that are helped here?
Wow, a lot of different stories. And I've been taught that you can't really respect someone fully until you know their story. So we got kids that lives in shelters, you know, and they go to school just like normal kids, and you would never know that that happens. And they go eat lunch, and they go throughout the day just like normal kids. And then we have kids who live very good lives with both parents in the home and all that kind of stuff. But it's just a variety, and it's good to be able to build that relationship with the kid outside of Boys and Girls Club.
What's the technique for working with children who may have a lot of distractions, may not be used to a lot of structure?
Yeah, so building that relationship is really key. Being able to know their story and where they're from, and then just getting down on their level. I think empathy is one of the biggest things, just knowing how to walk in their shoes and take yourself out of your element and your comfort zone, and just really being able to see what goes on with them, what makes them tick in a sense, what makes them happy, what makes them sad.
It was a nice day, so the staff moved things outdoors to the basketball court behind the building. We got to meet Jalen White, like so many of the staff, a former club kid himself.
Being a kid here going to the Boys and Girls Club, you get so happy. You get so happy after school, you know you're gonna go outside, the weather's nice, you know you're gonna get a snack, you go to concession stand, and you always leave with a smile on your face. I mean, some days they do have bad days, but I mean, then again, they're kids. Kids, they all have different emotions, probably about 100 kids with all different emotions. So when you get the kids, when you talk to them, you have to be happy first thing, because they don't want to see someone approached them with a sad face, because when you see a sad face, it's only gonna put your mood down. And when you see a smile, you wanna smile. And that's the first thing you have to do with kids, to make them feel happy.
Happiness is one thing they have plenty of. Well, that and curiosity. Kids were fascinated by our camera and microphone.
This week sounds like a lot of fun, because after school, you don't really have nothing to do. You just go home, do your homework, done. And so you come here to have a good time to play with somebody that you really need. Like, have fun out here instead of going home and being bored. You can have play with other kids so you can have fun, more fun, instead of just sitting at home.
What's your first name?
Janiyah.
How old are you?
6.
You were really smart.
Thank you.
You must like school.
Yeah, school, you can learn more. Your brain can get more smarter.
What do you want to do when you get older?
I don't know, be a doctor or something like that. Be a teacher, something like that.
What's the best part of school?
The best part of school is reading. You get to read, learn how to read, and then when you know how to read, you can read to other people and make a better life out of yourself of reading.
That's 6-year-old Janias, one of the kids at the Boys and Girls Club of Muncie. As she said, it's better to come to the club and have other kids to play with than to stay home and be bored. Before her, you heard Jalen White, one of the staffers at the club, and Antonio Benford, who runs the operation. By the way, Janias says she wants to be a doctor or a teacher. And it turns out that education is a big part of what they do at the club.
Indiana Weekend. Interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Warmer weather, the approach of summer vacation for school kids, but still a very busy time at Boys and Girls Clubs across the country. And that's true also in Muncie, where we visited with the operation run by Executive Director Micah Maxwell. One person we met on the staff was 19-year-old Kevin Holland, a former club kid himself. After-school mentoring and education are big parts of what they do here, because so many of the students arrive looking for just that.
They come here hungry to learn. You know, when they're at school, again, peer pressure, they see their friends disrespecting teachers and stuff like that, or doing whatever they want to do, and they feel like they can do that too to fit in. But when they come here, you know, we give the kids the opportunity to be themselves. And so you know, education's key. You know, that's top priority besides safety. We really try to implement that as much as we can here at the club.
Part of the importance of this is that the hours right after school are pretty important.
Yeah, a lot of kids, mostly teens, I would say. Teens, they after school they don't really have anywhere to go. You know, if they're not in the after school program, they're just, you know, wandering the streets. And so we try to, I know from 2 to 6 we have kindergarten to 5th grade, but we also give teens or 6th grade to 12th grade the opportunity to come here and volunteer, you know, help the kids out, stuff like that. So our main focus are kids, but we understand that teens have a lot of more weight on their shoulders than kids. So we try to open the doors to everybody that, you know, that's able to come and learn.
How has this part of Muncie changed, and how has the Boys and Girls Club changed, say, since you started coming here 7 years ago?
Well, yeah, 7 years ago, I knew at that time Muncie got a bad rep. I was, first of all, born and raised in Muncie, so I've seen all the stages. And from then to now, it's like, you know, as a community, we turned to 180. You know, I see it's not just the Boys and Girls Club. We have the Uni Center right down the street, Inspire right next door. We have the Beulah Center, the Ross Center. So we have a lot more people than we used to. It used to just be the Beulah Center and the Boys and Girls Club, but now we have neighboring, you know. And so I feel like 7 years ago, it was pretty much nothing. It was just us. And now we have our neighboring people. It's just everybody's open doors to kids, and that's the most important thing here at Muncie.
What kind of challenges do these young people face, like at school and in the neighborhood?
Again, peer pressure is the number one thing. I know that education, staying focused and stuff like that. But when kids come here, they feel like they can just, some kids still feel like they have to fit in to do certain, they have to do certain things to fit in. But we feel like, you know, when you come here, it's like a whole new life for you. You know, you can come in, do your homework. When you're done with homework, you can turn around, play basketball, learn how to play basketball. And on top of that, you can get meals. We get 2 meals when they come in and stuff like that. So, I mean, the club, it's a solid place for the kids around the neighborhood.
Sometimes we don't understand what other people are going through. You ever get that sense? And like, you know, You learn about some of the challenges of these folks?
Absolutely. Actually, today there was a kid, I'm not going to name her name, but she came to me and she told me she had a bad day today. I actually seen her and I asked her what happened. And she just told me that she slammed her fingers in the door. And so I right off the bat related to her. Literally yesterday, I slammed my fingers. So we kind of had that experience. She was feeling down. I told her my experience, how we both are in the same boat. And she just, I feel like that kind of made her day. So we have a lot of kids that they come here, they feel a little down. But us as staff members and volunteers, we like to kind of give kids the boost, to just feel like they're important, stuff like that.
You get the impression that they're hungry for contact with adults.
Yes, a lot of these kids, they don't have their father in their life or they don't have their mother, but a lot of us staff members and volunteers, we're kind of around the same age as them. They're elementary, but I just graduated high school last year, so, I can relate to the kids as much as Mr. Tony. Mr. Tony's like 27, 28, but he can still, relate to the kids as much as I can. So we give them a lot of different people that they can come and talk to. I know kids have certain people they like to talk to about certain problems, and that's understandable, but we try to make it to where any kid can walk up to us and just talk about their problems.
How long have you been working here? How long have you been?
Well, I was a club kid from 12 to 16. I started volunteering when I was 16 years old. And from 16 till now, for about 3 years, I've been a staff member.
In all of that time, can you think of something that really sticks with your memory about a difference that you made or you think the club made for somebody?
Yeah, so I'm about 2 or 3 years ago when I first started working here from volunteer to staff member. There was a kid. I seen him in the corner. He was crying his eyes out, I just asked him what happened. He said he can't write sentences. That's all he said. I can't write sentences. I looked down his paper. He wrote I think it said something like, I love the boys and girls. It was something, but he couldn't write the sentence. So I sat down. I went word by word, letter by letter. And, at the end of the day, he was writing sentences like in 5 minutes. And so I feel like ever since then, he's writing sentences and he can just, it's like I made a difference. And that's something I could stick with for the rest of my life.
You folks still need volunteers. Can you talk about that and what the volunteers do?
Yes, volunteers pretty much come hand in hand with the club kids. We have a lot of kids, and in order to mentally and emotionally watch those kids, we have to have a lot of, I would say, older people around to watch them. So volunteers come hand in hand. We have a lot of volunteers coming from Ball State, which I absolutely love because it takes a lot of weight off my shoulders, knowing that I can turn around and have somebody watch the kids while I need to handle this situation or that situation. So volunteers are one of the main things here.
And the college students, do they make good volunteers?
Yes, absolutely. I think we actually have applications for volunteers, so we can kind of simplify and see how many volunteers need to be here or in the gym or in the learning center, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, any volunteer is welcome here because every kid needs more attention at the end of the day. Every kid. It doesn't matter how much attention they're getting at home. When they come here, they can have 6 or 7 people to just come to them and just be like, I'm here for you.
He's had a chance to think about what the club has meant to him.
Like I said, I've been coming to the Boys and Girls Club. I've been involved with the Boys and Girls Club since I was 12 years old. I've seen all faces of the club. I've seen when our doors are almost closing to now we're one of the biggest, known organizations around the community. And so I feel like seeing how we go from here all the way to up here, it's like it kind of takes me back, because I grew up in Muncie, at that time, 12 years old, 13 years old, I didn't have nowhere to go. I came here. And now I see all these kids here just pretty much off, faces of life. They come here as a group and they just unify. That's kind of one thing that I can just feel like it'll be with me for the rest of my life.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Kevin Holland, who turned 19 years old the day we met him. He started coming to the Boys and Girls Club of Muncie when he was 12. As some do, he's gone from club kid to mentor and key figure in the lives of young folks hungry for attention and direction.
Soon as 3 o'clock rolls around, you finally lay your burden down. Close up your books, get out of your seat. Down the hall and into the street.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
So we visited the Boys and Girls Club of Muncie to check in with an organization that's been an anchor in the South Madison Street neighborhood. If you sometimes wonder what the next generation of leaders will look like, maybe they'll look something like Antonio Benford, the club's manager.
How do you figure out how to connect with
people? Absolutely, yeah. That biggest thing is just knowing that relationship. And for a metaphor for me, it's kind of like a coach. You know, some coaches can be real verbal with an athlete and, you know, yell at them and stomp their feet, and that's what gets them going. Other players, you need to pull them to the side and say, hey, you need to get your act together, and you need to be more of a lead by example kind of person. So you got to really know these kids and know what drives them and what makes them happy and what makes them sad to be able to encourage them and to do different things and to just spark that fire in them. And you never know what that is until you really get to know them inside and out.
Can you think of a time where you really connected or you felt like, boy, we're really making a difference here?
There's so many stories. I mean, we got Ice League going on behind me right now. I'm able to do 22, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade boys. I'm able to coach them here. We got kindergarten through 5th grade, 80 kids come a day. There's plenty of stories. I mean, I connected with a kid today coming in my office. It's a kid who has a lot of behavior issues. But he stepped out of his comfort zone and he came in my office. And one thing is he was able to tell what happened today. And that's not always what goes on, you know, in this community and in our environment, especially where the Boys and Girls Club is located. Even for a fourth grader to be able to come and tell me, you know, that he's walking away from a problem and that he's going to come tell me and see all of his peers come and tell an adult what's going on instead of him taking actions in his own hands, that's a huge step for us here at the Boys and Girls Club. And I can go on and on about different stories, especially about our Ice League and our team program that we do. We got a mentoring program that we call Passport to Manhood that's fabulous for our kids. And
how does that work?
Passport to Manhood is for all of our boys, 6th through 12th grade, who come on Mondays and Wednesday nights to be able to do some mentoring with our staff here at the Boys and Girls Club. We talk about anything from building relationships with girls to academic success to being a community leader to fatherhood and parenthood. And it's just a fabulous written program that we take from BGCA and we kind of shape it to our kids and what we do here, and we shape it to our community. And we allow those boys to be able to run that program themselves. We facilitate it, but the questions and the things that come up in there are awesome stuff, especially when we're dealing with fatherhood and that kind of stuff. Me not growing up with my father, and I can connect with the boys who don't, and hearing stories about young men who do have their father in the home and the impact that that has. Those stories are just remarkable, and that's stuff that you can't put together. You know, you have to have those programs to be able to hear those stories from those kids.
What do you want this community to know about the Boys and Girls Club?
That we're more than just basketball. You know, we're more than just a babysitting program. We offer academics and a hot meal for all our kids. We offer a snack on the way home. We know that 60% of our kids are boys, 40% of our kids are girls, and about half of those are in single-parent homes. And the income level in this area, you know, is very low. So we know that the meal that they get here is very important. The snack that they go home with is very important. The academics that we do with them and getting them through our Indiana Kids program is huge. Being able to get those kids to their reading and their math level by the time that they get through that 6-week program, it's a big deal for us. So mentoring and building relationships with kids is huge in what we do. And we need more volunteers, you know, with good backgrounds and, you know, willing to take on the task of dealing with, you know, some heartache kids, you know, some kids who's maybe not in the same boat as other kids. And you got to really be able to come here and be empathetic and, you know, really love what you do and come here. So we're always looking for good volunteers and mentors to be able to come help us out, because with our 7 staff that we have, we can't always do it alone.
If someone's considering volunteering, what kind of people are you looking for? Tutors? Are you looking for athletes?
I'm looking for people who want to be here. Simple. That's all that it takes. Someone with a heart for it, someone who really desires to be here and to help people, help children get to a point that maybe they are in their life and even greater. And that's all that it takes. A good education background always helps. You know, a coach always helps. An athlete always helps. But somebody who just really wants to be here and wants to be involved in what we do today, day-to-day basis, is huge and beyond measure.
Have you ever been walking down the street and encounter somebody who you first met here as a real little kid and now they've grown up? And
yeah, we actually had that person here on staff. His name is Kevin Holland. He's actually celebrating a birthday today. Kevin went here when he was a kid. He was our youth of the year a couple years ago. We sent him off to the military to be able to do some stuff, and now he's in the military and he's enjoying that, and he still works for us and he works with our teenagers in our kindergarten through fifth grade program. So Kevin is a perfect story about what the Boys and Girls Club can do for you. He was a kid just like I was coming to the Boys and Girls Club. He grew out of it as a senior, And then he wanted to come back, and he wanted to help his fellow peers to be able to come young, successful adults, just like what we say in our mission.
People do this work because they want to make a difference. And sure enough, that's what drives the tall, smiling man known as Mr. Tony at the club.
My favorite part of my job is to be able to hopefully one day have a couple stories like the one that I own, you know, the moment that I shared here at the Boys and Girls Club. And I always say that to anybody who asks me about, you know, my favorite part of my job. It's literally building those stories, because if you're working for tomorrow, or if you're working for even a month from now, you're going to burn out real quick. You got to be ready for when these second and third graders are 25 and 26 years old. So I'm literally working for 10 and 15 years down the road to be able to have stories from kids to say, man, if it wasn't for the Boys and Girls Club, and if it wasn't for the staff during that time, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I share that story all the time with my mentor, Coach Downs. Corey Downs, he works over at Longfellow right now. That's the guy who I always, always talk about in my story. And hopefully that a couple kids can talk about me one day.
People get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board.
Antonio Benford, unit manager of the Boys and Girls Club of Muncie, talking about the difference he hopes the club makes for young people. Like so many of the people there, including executive director Micah Maxwell, he was a club kid himself once and knows firsthand what the club can mean for kids who need direction. Finally, just a quick word about the station. We're very grateful for the help of our members, and I hope that includes you. If not, maybe you'll consider joining. More than 80% of IPR's program budget comes from member support. You can pledge online at indianapublicradio.org. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-646-1812. You can mail or fax a pledge. There's a tax deduction, and many companies match employee contributions to Indiana Public Radio. For more details, just give us a call at that number, 1-800-646-1812. 1812. However you do it, just know that we're grateful to have you part of the IPR family. And family it is, because when you give, it shows that you care. And programs like this are the result. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.